My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Please be seated. This morning, I wanted to share someone very special to me, the other member of my family. I bring you here. This is Trixie. Special guest, Trixie, my cat. I'm sharing her by way of photograph because while she tolerates our annual pet blessing, it's not her favorite day. I can assure you it benefits her dad a little bit more than it does her. But here she is, at least in a photograph, for now all of you to adore. I've been an animal lover my whole life. It started at age 5 when we received Cedric, my mutt, who was half cocker and half of something of indeterminate lineage. Cedric, we had him for 16 years, so virtually my whole growing up was with Cedric at my side. And there were days, too often, too many of them, that I felt like no one in my family could understand me. And I'd go out to the garage, which was Cedric's home, and I would sit on the stoop, and Cedric would sit next to me, and I knew that at least one living, breathing being understood and loved me unconditionally. Cut to my adult years, and it's been a cat who has fulfilled that role. Not being the kind of guy who's actually home promptly 3 times a day, a cat works out much better. Trixie came into my life in 2011 from the Animal Protective League. According to their records, she was born on July 8th. Well, my birthday is July 9th, so I knew that this was designed by God. I come home from work after a long day, call out her name and maybe rattle some treats, and out she comes bouncing my way, excited to spend the next few hours together. It is a happy ending for us both. And I remember the APL frequently when I make my offerings to this world. But it wasn't always so happy for her. No, they told me when I adopted her that they found her and her litter mates in the far dumpster of the parking lot of the Animal Protective League. She was rescued from that cruelty and has found her forever home with me in Cleveland Heights ever since. I mention all of this not really to spotlight the joys of pet adoption or to lift up animals in the manner of St. Francis. His saint day isn't until October 4th. No, my cat, my pet, is my entry point into our lessons this morning, popularly known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Year after year, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, most of our lessons deal with the sheep shepherd imagery. If we look at our psalm this morning, we have that gorgeous 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." I can assure you that after 40 years of ministry, that does not matter what else is going on in a person's hospital bed or hospice bed. If all other memory is lost, that 23rd Psalm, along with the Lord's Prayer and perhaps the children's hymn, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," our memory holds those things deep inside it. God does not leave us bereft. They still bring us God's grace right there to the end of life. We move to our gospel lesson this morning from John chapter 10. And like a scene out of my living room, witnessing Trixie bouncing her way toward me, we read of Jesus proclaiming, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And no one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than anything, and no one can snatch them away from the Father's care." But I don't want us to stop there. All of John chapter 10 would make an excellent reading this morning. But those who drew up the lectionary chose only those 9 verses that we read together a few moments ago. If we backtrack in John's gospel, earlier in the same chapter, we would read Jesus' parable of the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd," he said, "who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired one, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired one runs away because he's only a hiree and does not care about the sheep." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me, and I'm willing to die for them." Folks, we are those sheep. The same way Trixie the cat knows who loves her, knows in her cat gut that her dad would do almost anything for her, so we know who loves us. And we know this one by the sound of his voice. Now, to push the point a bit, just how is it that we know that voice? How do we know the voice of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, we have the scriptures, the clearest record that we have. But an awful lot of people who cite scripture don't sound at all like Jesus to me, the Good Shepherd, at least as I experience him. So how is it that we approach this tool of scriptures? I mean, it's been used in defense of slavery, in keeping women in their place, of damning the LGBT community for generations. So not all things scriptural are helpful. Well, I was taught long ago that to take it seriously, it's a threefold action. First, read it. Read all of it. And good luck, because it's going to take you a long time. But you want to read it all, the good and the bad and the ugly, and see what you come up with. What themes are recurring time and time again? Where are its contradictions? And what seems to be Christ-like in what we're reading? Second, then focus on the Gospels and see what in the life of Jesus' teaching and his disciples opens a window to God for you. Finally, center on Jesus very specifically. And how is it that John called him the Word, the very Word of God? What does the whole of Scripture look like, viewed through the lens or the grid that Jesus the Christ is? For instance, did you know that the poor, and conversely money, our response to the poor, is mentioned more than anything else in all of Jesus' ministry? How many Christians have cited Scripture in trying to impose their personal agenda on others while residing in some prestigious home miles away from the redlined barriers that keep the poor at bay? But it doesn't stop there. What else is the voice of the shepherd teaching us about right relationships with God and with each other? Well, we're told to love, and not only those we automatically do love, but love our enemies. By his example, we know that Jesus went out of his way to welcome those that society has deemed as outcasts. He said we'll be blessed or happy when we work for peace. God will eventually call us her children. He blesses us when we feed the hungry, when we receive the stranger or immigrant, when we take care of the sick and imprisoned. Jesus is the good shepherd. His sheep have heard and recognize that voice. But there are other voices as well. Voices working hard to be heard and sometimes actively distorting the message they'd like us to believe would come from God. We have Christians in our culture who are actually challenging the literally God-given proscription to care for our neighbors. Gad Syed is a North American marketing professor whose application of evolutionary psychology leads him to explain how Western societies are bringing about their own destruction by admitting immigrants, people from poorer, browner, more Muslim countries. His disciple, Elon Musk, said of this, "The fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy." Oh, please, let that sink in. The fundamental weakness is empathy, the empathy exploit. They're exploiting a bug in Western civilization, which is empathy response. Ordo Amoris, or order of love, is a 4th century concept of St. Augustine that describes a certain hierarchy of love. It stresses that when we love, the first direction of our love has to be God, then our family, then our neighbors, and finally, if there's anything left over, outsiders. It's a concept that's been lifted up by some in our government and even in some Christian communities as a kind of shorthand rationale for ignoring the immigrant and the poor while keeping our conscience clear. Is this how we got the 83% disillusion of USAID, the United States program of 60 years standing that supplies food and medicines around the globe to A, better their lives, and B, raise our own standing in the world by helping others? Is this how we could even consider defunding the Ryan White program, that which keeps over a million Americans alive because of giving them the expensive drugs without which they die? Is this how we're even discussing, as a nation, the curtailing of Medicaid and food programs for children? Seems to me, results such as these have the same bitter cruelty behind them as throwing a litter of perfectly healthy, loving kittens in the trash. Because we can. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they will follow me." You and I know the voice of Jesus. We may have learned it on our mother's knee or from a teacher's care. We've heard it in our hymns and in the scriptures. We've participated in it through word and sacrament. It's not foreign to us, and it will not be taken away or distorted through the words and actions of some hired hand. The voice of the shepherd, the voice of God, is imprinted on our hearts, and nothing will be able to snatch it or us away. Amen.